All right, we want to begin a new study, still in the course called Relationships. This is, we just call this Relationship Priority, and it's somewhat self-explanatory. I think we have a major problem getting things out of priority in our life, out of order. And generally creates problems. Forces as a result always creates problems, I could say. And this is a very basic study. Probably not going to tell you anything that you don't already know. But it's, as Peter would say, it's stirring up your pure minds with the way of remembrance, okay? We're using the scriptural foundation as Genesis chapter 1 and looking at verses 26 and 27. Then we'll also go over to the second chapter of Genesis and read a few verses from there. So let's begin by looking at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Now, I'll just put this in. Anytime you read the scriptures, get them all and put them together. You know, you read this, don't draw a conclusion off of two verses of scripture, because later on you'll read, you'll get more explanation of creation, and it paints a bigger picture. But the thing I want you to see in this particular scripture right at this time is us. An hour. It's including the Godhead. And he said, make man in our image, after our likeness. And then what does that mean, to make man in the image of God and to make man in the likeness of God? Are we talking about appearance? Or are we talking about something else? And I think so often people, when you think of image and likeness, they're thinking of a physical being. And that's, obviously that's not what he's talking about, because no one's ever seen God. As far as seeing him to put a name on him, but yet Jesus, when Philip, I think it was, said, show us the Father, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, we can say the same thing today. If we're truly members of the body of Christ, been born again, we can say, if you've seen us, you've seen Jesus. But not many people can handle that, you understand, because they take it the wrong way and go off on the deep end. All right, let's look at Genesis chapter 2. And I want to read verses 7 and 8. Genesis chapter 2. Verses 7 and 8. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And then drop down to verse 18, and I want to read verses 18 through 24. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone, or that man should exist alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Now, if you're reading the King James, it uses the word help meet. And actually, if you look the word help up in the Hebrew, it's talking about aid, one who aids and assists. And if you look the word meet up, it's one that's suitable. In other words, what God's saying is, I'm going to make someone to help him that's suitable to him. All these animals were not suitable to Adam. And if you read the context of all this, it says, you know, God made the animals, Adam named animal, but, you know, there was a male, a female pair, but there wasn't a help suitable to Adam. So God said, I'm going to make a helper that's suitable to him, or a counterpart for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. In other words, the animals that God created were not suitable helps for Adam. Okay? Because they're not made in the image and likeness of God. They're different. They can't relate to Adam. All right? Then when we go on reading in verse 21, it says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made or built, actually would be the better word, into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. She will be called Isha because she was taken from Ish. There's the two Hebrew words that are used. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Now, that's the parenthetical that the writer puts in there. Okay? Because God made this woman for the man, the writer says that a man leaves his father and mother. Obviously, Adam didn't have a father and a mother, right? Nor did the woman. Okay? But this is looking at things in the future. All right, now, with these things in mind, let me just put this in here, sort of a side thought to our main theme. When we read in Genesis chapter 1 and verses 26, 27, we talked about how God had created man and that he made them male and female. Now, if you just read that one passage of Scripture, it sounds like the man and woman were made at the same time. But that's not the case. Now, I don't know the amount of time that transpired between the male being created and the female being created. But understand that the Adam, which is actually the Hebrew word for man, was taken out of the dust of the ground. He was formed, shaped, molded, and then God breathed into him the breath of life and he became a living being. Now, after this, God creates the animals. And then God brings the animals to the man, to the male, for him to name all the animals. Now, I don't know how many species of animals there were, but obviously there was quite a few animals. And so Adam names them, and whatever Adam names them, that's their name. And then what God said when he made the animals, I'm gonna make a help suitable for Adam, but none of these animals are suitable. It's not that God made a mistake. God looked male, female, you know, cow, bull, rooster, chicken, all the way down the line. You know, there's not a help suitable for this man. So, rather than to form a female of the dust of the ground, God takes the rib from the man, so he forms the woman out of the man rather than out of the dust of the ground. Okay? So you get more detail here than you got in chapter 1. All right? So, and then from this rib, God built is actually the Hebrew, if you look at the Hebrew word, it's built the woman. And then once she was built, he brought her back to the man. Now think about this. Before God caused the deep sleep to fall on Adam. He was complete. But once God took the rib out of the man, he was incomplete. Then God brought the woman that he had made from the rib back to man to complete the man. Okay? So then you have that completion in the male-female. Now, people that are single, don't get on the guilt trips and think that you have to be married. People that want to live a celibate life, God will make up what's lacking. You understand? And some people struggle with that, and some people try to impose marriage on people, and some people try to tell you to abstain. The bottom line is, God created this man and woman to reproduce. What did he tell them to do? Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Okay? So the objective of the man and woman was to have a relationship that would be fruitful. Okay? But note the relationship that came first. God and man. Okay? Turn over to Genesis chapter 5. And here again, this is dealing with creation. In Genesis chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, it says, "This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them, male and female, and blessed them, and called them mankind or human beings in the day they were created." Now, what many people don't understand is that God did not name them Adam and Eve. Adam is the Hebrew word for man, okay, as a human being. Now, as a male, the Hebrew word is ish. And female is isha. Okay? Now, here's another interesting thing, both in Hebrew and the Greek, is there's not a different word for man and husband and woman and wife. It takes the context to determine which word to use, whether you're talking about men in general, women in general, or if you're talking about a husband or a wife. And consequently, a lot of people have misinterpreted the Scripture following, you know, the version, whatever version it is, whether it's King James or whatever, that they'll say woman, when in reality the better translation would have been wife. If you would have used the context, you would have said wife. And then people have made doctrines, for instance, that women are not to speak in church, but yet they don't have that in context. It says if they want to learn, then they're to ask their husbands at home. So the word should have been not women, but wives. Okay? Then they ask their husbands at home. And what he's saying is that the wife is not to disrupt the service, nor is she to usurp the authority of her husband, but she's to be teachable and submissive, okay? Now, here again, people jump off the deep end with that, you know, with chauvinism, and then to counter that, there's feminists and all that, and God never ordained any of this. God just has a male and female position. And how many of you know that male and female, as hard as you try, you can't change the positions? You understand? They're there. And any change is a perversion of what God had originally created. Now, it's interesting that God formed that man out of the dust of the ground. He took the woman out of the man, and the woman's made in the image of the man. The man's made in the image of God. Okay? but in that she was taken out of man, both are made in the likeness of God, in the image of God, the male side, the female side. So, is God male or female? You understand, and people get so stupid in these things with trying to go off and prove that God was male, God's a woman, or God was of this nationality, God was of that nationality. All nationalities came out of God through Adam. Very simple. There's not a person on the face of the earth that can't trace their lineage back to Adam. So if you want to go back far enough in your ancestry, we all have the same ancestors. Do you understand? Adam. Now, with all those things in mind and just giving you this breakdown of creation to where we get into this order, the priority of relationship, God's relationship order, I believe, can be seen from the very beginning, because man's first relationship was with his Creator, God and Adam. You understand that after God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground, God planted a garden and he set the man in the garden. Adam was in the garden. God gave Adam the mandate of not eating of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil. Okay? Now, Eve came after the fact. Adam named her Eve. God didn't. Okay? God called their name Adam. Now, this will help you a little bit. Have you ever wondered why, especially we see it from a Western culture, why it used to be when a man and a woman got married, the woman took the man's name? Because from that point forward, it's one entity, and God calls their name whatever that last name is. That's how God sees it. Okay? Now there's a perversion in this that now you don't want to come in under that one name. You want two entities, and when you do that, you have a divided house. Because here's what people say. Well, I don't want to lose my identity. Now, I want to show you a spiritual side of this. You can listen naturally, but we're talking spiritually, okay? Too many people want to keep their identity rather than to come under the name of the Lord. Okay? There's a parallel that runs with this. What you see in the natural is going on in the spirit, to where people want to maintain an identity rather than submitting themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Men want to make a name for themselves. Now, you see it early on. You see it. You don't have to go but to the 11th chapter of Genesis, and you see right there in that 11th chapter, men are wanting to make a name for themselves. So they build this city and tower and Babel, and God intervenes. God's not wanting us to make a name for ourselves. The name's already established. God had that established before Adam was created. What we're to do is understand that we're to enter into a relationship with our Creator. That's the greatest relationship, and then other relationships are subservient to that. Now, if I do that, if I enter into that intimate relationship with my Creator, then I seek my Creator in regards to all other relationships. Now, this is why we're so mixed up in our relationships. We didn't seek God. Most of us were heathen. Consequently, many people have paid a price because we had things out of order. But God's relationship, I believe, is seen here at the very beginning The priority is man and God, man and his creator. And then the second relationship is between the man and the woman who was taken from man, or we could say husband and wife. And then the third relationship is what is the fruit of the second relationship. And that's children, right? I'm having to really watch myself because I want to jump ahead and start teaching on some things. But these three relationships, I believe, are listed in order of priority, order of importance. All other relationships known to us must be subservient to these relationships. And the relationship that produced man is the most vital relationship that a man can ever know. But it seems ironic that the most vital relationship is the most neglected relationship. And yet, this relationship affects all other relationships. Now, this will tell you why we're in so much trouble today in relationships. Whether it be in the home, whether it be on the job, whether it be in the community, whether it be in the church. Isn't it interesting that there's a lot of relationship problems? It's because things are out of order. In the beginning, God created man. Not only was man made by God, but man was made for God. God was not made for man. The man was made for God. God had an objective for making man. God had a job for man to do before he ever made man. And you'll find that when he created the first man, whom we call Adam, that God gave him a mandate, was to guard or protect and till the garden. So man had responsibility from the very beginning. God made that man responsible for the garden that God planted. Think about that. He still has people responsible for the garden that he's planting today, if you will, okay? So, there wasn't the sweat of the brow, and the curse was not at that time, so it wasn't like this was laborious in that respect, but it did require energy. God made man to work. Okay? Working for God, taking care of God's garden. Now, to be made in the image and the likeness of God is to have the unique creativity or creative ability of God. Excuse me, this is what makes man so different than any other creation. Although animals can operate at different levels and do different things. They can make a habitat for themselves. They can dig a hole and where they live, or burrow, or beavers build a dam, or whatever. There's nothing that can be compared to the ability of a human race. Nothing. God has given us the ability, as Satan told the woman, to be like God. We can discern between good and evil. And look at what we can do. Do you realize that God made us, and then all the things you see around us, we made? Man made the wheel. And from early on, man was making things, and man has been making things ever since then. Human beings have been making things ever since then. And look how much it's evolved. From a stone wheel to a wooden wheel, and now we get a soft ride going down the road, right? And then think about all the other things. You know, you had the horse, but then God created the horse, but then man created the wagons and the buggies and all the accessories that we put on the horse, right? And then all that's evolved from an animal into automotive industry, trucking industry, and we call it horsepower, right? When we're rating the power of the engines. Think of that, creativity. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but it, from time to time, now I'm a person that likes to know how things work. Don't tell me, well, this does this. I like to know the relationship of this part to this part to this part, whether it be an engine, a transmission, or stereo, or whatever. I like to know the relationship. How does this work? And yet, I stand absolutely amazed at the ingenuity of human beings to make the things they make. How in the world did they figure all this out? Made in the image of God. Made with such a creativity, with an unlimited brain on the inside. You know, now some of you probably can't relate to this, but you know, I'm old enough that we used to take vegetable cans or soup cans and tie a string on them and hold that up. Well, that was a telephone, right? But you couldn't talk to somebody on the other side of the ocean with that. Look at the technology. Where did it come from? Made in the likeness of God, in the image of God. This is what I believe he's referring to rather than in a physical form. I don't know what God looks like. As a matter of fact, human beings don't look the same. Even identical twins aren't 100% identical. Everything God made, they say there's no snowflake, no two snowflakes are alike. Don't you find that incredible? Everything has its own peculiarity. And the Creator has such a mind on him, and yet he's imparted that into human beings, his creation. Now, why would he do that? We're his representation on the earth. The animals aren't the representation of God. Fish aren't the representation of God. But don't you find it interesting how many cultures worship animals and fish and insect and all these things that aren't made in the image of God? Made by God? Yes. In the image of God? No. The only thing made in the image of God was a human being, with a likeness and the image. Okay? And that's where you and I fall in. Now, why did he do that? Because God is wanting us to represent him in earth. That's our role. We have a role to play. If you don't have to go around asking yourself, what does God want me to do? Represent him? Now, there's many different roles as far as a representation of God, and we have our own peculiar niche that we fit into, you know, as to what representation we're to have. But every one of us, God has given us the ability to do things without him having to tell us every move to make. And see, a lot of people miss this on being led by the Spirit. Now, this is what I find about being led by the Spirit. The Spirit of God gives me a concept. He doesn't give me a 100-page blueprint with every detail mapped out. He gives me a concept. For instance, with this Bible college. This Bible college came as a concept, God didn't give me the curriculum per se. Yet He gave me revelation of things, and as a result of the various revelations, we put this together into a curriculum. But now here's what I want you to see in this, that by being made in the image and likeness of God, we have the ability to carry on in a creativity to where God, we're not puppets, that God's just pulling this string and pulling this string and pulling this string. God gives you an idea, and then He lets you put the detail to that idea. You know, it's the same way, really, with prophecy and various gifts of the Spirit we operate in. It's not that God gives you word for word. He gives you the concept, and He allows you to communicate that concept in the vocabulary, your own vocabulary. Interesting, isn't it? Image of God, likeness of God. That's why it's so important that we work on this relationship with God, because here's what will happen. If we're not cautious, we're far enough out from generation to generation to generation, instead of looking at the image and likeness of God, we can look at the image and likeness of man who has devolved. You understand? Even though he's made in the image of likeness of God and the likeness of God, he's not following the image and likeness of God. Now that Satan has entered into the picture, perversity has come in, and look at the perversion in the minds of people. Have you ever wondered what a person's thinking that comes up with a horror movie? Or these violent movies, crimes, and all these things that take place. How does a criminal think that way? Or how does a Hollywood producer, or writer, or script writer, how in the world are they thinking? It's not in the image of God, the likeness of God. There's a perversion to that, where Satan has come in and he's saying, don't be like that. Be like this. That's why it is so important that we maintain that relationship with the Creator, with our God, our Father, through fellowship. And the more we fellowship with God, the more we'll know about His image and His likeness. And see, what's happened in the church today, it's gotten so far away from God because it doesn't know the image and likeness of God. I was just reading today Hebrews, it talked about how the children of Israel did not know the ways of God. They had gotten so far from the Creator that they do not have concept of His image and His likeness. Consequently, they're not reproducing the image and likeness of God. The church has gotten so far away from God that we're not reproducing. We don't know the image and likeness. Consequently, the church as a whole is not producing the image and likeness of God. They carry on an image that they formulated. And God's not in the services. His likeness isn't seen. His image isn't seen. Why is that? Because of the relationship, lack of it, lack of fellowship. So we've removed ourselves from the Creator. And consequently, we have major, major problems. Don't you find it absolutely amazing that you have the ability to be creative? Now I look at people that do artwork, and it's beyond my comprehension how they can do that. Just imagine and take that imagination and put that imagination into a picture or into a sculpture or whatever. But yet, when it comes to mechanical things, I can see things, and this relates to this, this relates to this. People say, well, how do you do that? Well, I think everybody should be able to. Our creativity comes in different ways. All of us have creative ability, but all of us aren't artists. All of us aren't musicians. All of us aren't mechanics, machinists, or electrical engineers, or doctors, whatever, you understand. But yet we all have creative ability. We all have the ability to judge, and we all have the ability to choose. This is what I'm talking about with the image and likeness of God. Now, that doesn't mean man's equal to God. It means that God has imparted into us the ability to produce His likeness and His image in the earth. We don't have the equal power with God, but God has given us some of His power. You understand? So, why did He do that? Because God created the human being to rule or dominate or to oversee the earth. Man is to be the dominant factor in earth, not animals. You understand? That's why it doesn't matter how big the animal is, how vicious the animal is, man has power over that animal. Don't you think it incredible that a man can get in a cage with a lion, a tiger, or elephant, or whatever? I've seen them in India using elephants to work. Just like on a farm we use the horse or a mule, they use the elephant. Why? Because God's created us that way. Not for the elephant to dominate the man, but for the man to have dominion over the elephant, and then God wants us to use that dominion wisely. My time's up, so I'm going to stop right here, and we'll pick back up with this thought after break.